And in this way, the first Adam was made innocent. He was made innocent. He was holy. There was no sin in him. And God gave a commandment for him to keep. If you don't keep it, if you disobey, you're going to die. And what happened? Death came to everyone. Everyone was on the way to hell. And here, but God had mercy upon some. He had mercy for the elect's sake. He sent Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus comes as the second Adam with the same temptation here. Because just like Adam was made innocent, Christ was made without sin. And here comes the same tempter, same temptation is going to come to Christ. And Christ is going to, why did Christ come? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. The reason he came here, 1 John 3 8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, and he might destroy the works of the devil." And here comes Christ. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to triumph over the enemy. First Adam failed. The second Adam triumphed. The second Adam gave us victory through. That's the whole reason here of the temptation of Christ. That's the beginning here. Now if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Remember, last study we saw that how Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And verse 16 says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, and behold, the heaven were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And that's the story we see here, that Jesus was led by the same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that conceived Jesus. The same Holy Spirit that is with the Father, and the same Holy Spirit that is eternal God, the same Holy Spirit that is with the Father, with the Son, who conceived the Son, now that Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, this wilderness is not the wilderness where John the Baptist came from. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, says, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea." Now we had to understand it is not the same wilderness here. This is a different wilderness. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 1 verse 13. Let scripture interpret scripture. Mark 1 verse 13. Immediately, starting from verse 12, "Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." This wilderness is where the wild beasts are there. This is not the same wilderness. This is a violent place. This is a violent place. It's the wilderness where John the Baptist came. There were towns, there were people. As they came to John the Baptist to be baptized, it was different. And this is a wilderness where wild animals. It's a violent, lonely place, and where no people are. Now remember, the first Adam was in the paradise, and there were wild animals with him, and the animals did not hurt him. And here is the second Adam, also he's not in paradise, but he's in the wilderness, and there are wild animals also, but the second Adam is not hurting the wild animals. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Christ did not go to combat the devil on his own. It says very clearly, Christ did not go on his own, but he was led by the Holy Spirit. Now, many times, I'll tell you, there are a lot of Christians here, they fall into this error where they go to the battle zone with the enemy on their own. They are not led by the Spirit, but they go on their own to fight the enemy. I tell you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall. Many people think, I can fight the enemy, and they rebuke the enemy, and they go on their own to fight the battle. They think, I can handle it. There's no problem. I can handle it. And they go to the battle. I'll tell you, enemy will whip you. And at the end, they come crying. I say, oh, no, what happened? Because you went to the battle on your own. If you want to be victorious over the enemy, you need to be led by the Spirit of God. Here, Christ was led by the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you, that means you need to go by divine permission of God. God, it was a divine permission for Christ to go into the battlefield. Matthew chapter 6, 13. Remember, in this prayer, Jesus said, when we pray, do not lead us into temptation. Right? When we pray, we have to pray, do not lead us into temptation. But I'll tell you, many people are going into temptation on their own. Here, unless God, by divine permission, lead you into temptation, that means He's going to do something good for you. Because James chapter 1 verse 2 says, James 1 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. This is when the Spirit leads you into trials, into temptations, that is against the enemy. Because these trials, where God leads you, will make you a stronger man. Understand? Alright. Leading of the Spirit. Here, we see here, on this story, when Christ was led by the Spirit to the spiritual battle, we see it is really for God's glory. It is for God's glory, and also we are going to see it is for our good. It is for God's glory. Now, why is it for God's glory? If Satan was not tempted by... No, if Christ was not tempted by Satan, then how can we overcome Satan? If Christ was not tempted by Satan, what I'm trying to say, if there wasn't a spiritual battle here, there's no victory. Right? Then how can Christ overcome Satan? How can he destroy the works of the devil? So actually, eventually, we can say it is for God's glory. Who is the victor? God, through Christ Jesus. So we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And also we see that it is for our good also. Because if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Anybody have weaknesses? But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And here we see how Christ was tempted. He feel our weaknesses. When the devil comes and tempts us, when we are going through a spiritual battle, Christ feels it because he was tempted in the same way. So he feels it and he sympathizes us. So we can go to the throne room of grace boldly now in Christ Jesus. So we say it is also for our good. Now in Matthew says, chapter 4 verse 2, And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, after he was hungry, now when the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now here we see how Satan comes, very subtle. And I'll tell you, this is a fierce and a violent temptation. Because 40 days after fasting, I don't know about you, when I'm hungry, after one day, I'm really hungry. Here, Christ has fasted 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, he was hungry. And you can see how the devil came. He came at the end of 40 days when he was extremely weak and hungry. And you can see the timing of the enemy, right? He times it when you're at your weakest. That's the way he times it. He doesn't time when you're in the church, when you're with everybody, right? He times it when you're outside. When you're weak at a place, that's the time the enemy is looking. It's like a roaring lion, always looking to devour somebody who is weak. If you look at those animal movies, the lion or the tiger, how he prays for the deer that is drinking water. And I'll tell you, and suddenly he comes, he jumps, he runs, he pounds. Who gets caught? The weak one gets caught. So Satan knows how to put the bait to catch the fish. He's very good on that one. And this is a really a violent, a fierce temptation. Now, verse 4. If you see here on verse 17, let's see verse 4. And his question was, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, if you have been reading the Bible line by line, precept by precept, the first thing, in verse 17, God already said that he is the Son of God. Matthew 3:17 says, "This is my beloved Son, whom well I am pleased." You see that? Now, Satan is saying, well, if you are the Son of God, God already said he is the Son of God. Now, what is the question here? Satan is doubting. He is putting doubt when you are weak and he's questioning his divinity. And I'll tell you, Satan knew that he is the Son of God because Satan saw when the angels came and proclaimed that he is the Son of God. Satan saw when the angel came to Joseph, when the angels came to Mary and proclaimed he is the Son of God. And Luke chapter 4 verse 41, even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke 4, 41. Says, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." See that? And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Of course, Satan knows that he is the Son of God, but Satan is attacking his humanity here. As a man, as a second Adam. And here, of course, he comes when Christ is very hungry, and Christ sees there are a lot of stones in this place here, and the stones look like bread, like a loaf of bread. You know, and when Christ is so hungry, he's weak, he's physically weak, and he comes to the very root. Satan has says, "If thou art the Son of God," I'll tell you, if Jesus wanted to, he turned the water into wine. He can turn the stones into bread. That's not a big deal. Right? But Christ is not going to work a miracle on Satan's choice. Who is bidding here? Satan is the one who is bidding. So Christ will not make a work a miracle on Satan's choice. It's like, say, if you're poor, steal. Right? That's not real. So Satan here wants Christ to satisfy his sensual desires. How many times Satan comes and tells us to satisfy our sensual desires? God is saying, Satan is saying, satisfy your sensual desires. God is saying, self-denial. Now, this second thing what I see is he came against the very authority of Scripture. And Satan said, if. There are no ifs. God said yes. God said, you are my beloved son. So Satan always comes and put an if there. If you are the son of God. I'll tell you. Christ could have used his divine power to wipe away Satan, but instead he used the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. If you remember Genesis, also Satan played the same game with Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field which the Lord has made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And he's posing a question. Of course God said that. God said, you can eat any of the trees, but not the tree of good and evil you cannot eat. But Satan said, has God said? It's the same thing what Satan is doing to Jesus Christ. If thou art the Son of God. There's no new thing in Satan. It's the same putting doubt. But what happened to Adam and Eve here? When Eve tried a conversation with the enemy. You don't have a conversation with the enemy. That's what happened. And the woman said to serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees and so forth like that, but all that, you know. And here she tries to get into a conversation with the enemy. You don't do that. But what did Jesus do? He used the word of God. The word of God is a sword of the Spirit. It is a weapon that is given to us. When the fierce attacks of the enemy comes, we use the word of God. How? If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 86, 11. Psalm 86, 11 says, give me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Wow. It is the truth. The word of God is the truth. And that's what we need to use. And Jesus said, what did he say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now where is it written? Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Jesus used the word of God. Deuteronomy 8:3 says here, starting from verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. I'll tell you, God created the spiritual hunger here. He created a hunger to see that you are hungry more for spiritual food or for physical food. That's what happened. That's what God did to the people in Israel. He created a hunger just to see, to humble them down. So when they are humbled, that they will really yearn more for spiritual food rather than physical food. Question.
Are you hungry for spiritual food?
Jesus, and he says here, Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2, God wanted to see whether they are going to obey his commandment. And here Jesus obeyed the commandment. He used the word of God. Although he was hungry, Jesus, he treasured on the word of God more than the spirit, physical food. My question is, are you hungry for spiritual food? Ask the question. And I'll tell you, a lot of times the devil, some people, they don't even know that there's a battle. Well, everything is fine. I'll tell you, if you are in devil's side, he won't bother you, because everything is doing fine. The more closer you come to God, the more the fighting of the devil, he get mad at you, he will put fierce attacks upon you. Remember, Jesus, he was filled in the Spirit. When he's filled in the Spirit, that's the time the enemy came. But if you are going fine and dandy, you don't even know that you're on devil's side. And you don't have any problems. You know, you don't have problems. And you say, oh, God is blessing me. I tell you, you're on the wrong side. You're on the devil's camp. That's why there is no spiritual battles. But if you're in Christ's camp, enemy, there is an enemy then. If you're in the devil's camp, then you don't have an enemy. God is going to be your enemy at the end of the age. And that's more dangerous. Now, what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Remember, the first Adam was tempted in the paradise, in the garden of paradise. The second Adam was tempted in the wilderness. The first Adam was tempted not to eat this fruit. The second Adam was tempted also by the enemy to eat these. Make these bread stones into bread and eat it. You see the parallel here. Then Matthew chapter 4 verse 5 says, then the devil took him into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The first temptation came basically against the authority of the word of God, against his sensual desire. The second temptation is coming on worship, spiritual worship, on the spiritual side of it, the worship. Now, here we see how the devil took him to the holy city. What is the holy city? It's Jerusalem. Alright? Now here from the wilderness, he takes him to Jerusalem. And the temple, the pinnacle of the temple means the highest point of the temple. Okay? It's the highest point of the temple. And he tempts him. And he says, and if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, and he even quotes scripture. Now I'll tell you, why did the devil take him to the temple here? Why did he take him to the holy city and to the temple? I'll tell you, because I believe that the devil is taking Christ now to his Christ's own territory, where he is most comfortable. Jerusalem, the holy city, temple belongs to Christ. Jerusalem, the temple, that all belongs to Christ and to his people. And devil is telling, now this is your own camp, your own territory. Throw yourself down so everybody will see that you are the Son of God. I tell you, Satan can quote scripture, huh? He quoted Psalm chapter 91, verse 11 and 12. Satan quotes scripture. Remember 2 Corinthians, before we get into that, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, how Apostle Paul said. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Satan knows how to quote scripture. And I'll tell you, and some can have head knowledge, your head full of scriptures, but your heart can be like the devil. That's Satan. He knows all the scriptures in his head, but the heart is like a devil. That means you can quote scripture, you can memorize scripture, but your behavior is like a devil. Now, if you see Matthew chapter 4, the scripture that he quoted is Psalm 91. Lest you dash your foot against a stone. I have a question. Do you see any problem with the scripture here? What Satan quoted? I see there's a major problem here in this scripture. Let's read it very carefully. If you read very carefully, you will see Satan omitted a whole line there. Now, if you turn with me, hold Matthew 4 and turn with me to Psalm 91:11, I'm going to show it to you. And this is how the devils will misquote scripture.